would be unacceptable. The book of Revelation ends with a great passage dealing with this subject. John writes, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." That's scary in and of itself, isn't it? Because you read in that book about a number of terrible plagues. And he says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things," that is to say, all the blessings, the benefits, the good things that are written in this book. You'll miss out on all the good things. Why? Because you took away something. God will take away something from you. You add something, God will add all the terrible plagues to your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, perhaps the very passage that inspired the things written by John there in the Revelation passage we just looked at, Deuteronomy 4, 2, Moses speaks and he says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish or take anything away from it, that you may keep." The point being, if you add to it, you won't keep it. If you take something away from it, you will not end up keeping it. "That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And so, ladies and gentlemen, in all of these things, we see evidence upon evidence, stacked upon evidence, that shows this, that this same notion, this idea, that God speaks. He speaks both by what he says and also by what he does not say. That his silence is powerful also. And thus, to go beyond the bounds of what God has authorized is not innocent. It's not something that someone innocently steps into. It is rather a presumptuous sort of sin that God says he will punish, and he will punish very thoroughly. Let me take you to a great psalm. In Psalm chapter 19, in verse 13, David said this. He said, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." Now we'll come back to that in just a moment. But listen. "Let them not have dominion over me," says David. "Then shall I be upright." Go into presumptuous sin, you're not upright. But if you do, then you're, if you stay within it, then you are upright. He says, "I shall be innocent from the great transgression." So once again, let me emphasize to you that David said that a presumptuous sin was not an innocent little thing that happens when someone makes a little mistake. It's rather an act of rebellion against the authority of God. And that is what is so very often misunderstood and misconstrued when it comes to this topic. Let me use some illustrations to show you the point of this. Not only David's prayer, but the story of Nadab and Abihu, which is found in the 10th chapter of the book of Leviticus. The scriptures there tells us that these two sons of Aaron were devoured by fire, and that fire went out from the Lord. There was no doubt the source of the death that swallowed them up, the violent fire that killed them. It came from, the Bible says, the Lord. He was its source. And it tells us that they offered strange fire. What initiated this? Simply put, it says they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, some folks, when they read that, think, well, God had commanded them not, in the sense that he had given some specific command that they there disobeyed. But not so. In reality, they again presumed upon God's silence. God permitted certain things and did not permit other things. By what God said they should do, he bracketed out every other potential thing that they might think to do, that they might imagine to do, that they might presume to do. These men then presumed upon the silence of God. God specified later on in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12, and said that the fire to be used was to come, and I quote, from the coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. 16, verse 12 of Leviticus. And so this suggests that along with many other things that were orally given to the people, Moses gave instruction about how to go about this whole process. And so they knew, they were not ignorant. They probably were only, in this case, careless. If you read the context of the passage, there is an immediate warning that follows about inebriation or drunkenness in regard to those who are involved in temple sacrifice. What does that tell you? So often we understand that people will do and say things when they're under the effects of alcohol.